have your Bibles, open with me to the book of Psalms, and let's go to Psalm 105. And let's look here, and I just think it's going to be a blessing to you. Psalm 105, let's look at the first couple of verses, okay? Psalm 105, 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name and make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing songs to him, and talk of all his wondrous works. Dropping down to verse 5. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. You know, it's really important that we develop a discipline in our lives of giving thanks. Okay, I'm going to say that again. It's important that we develop a discipline in our lives of giving thanks. We don't want to be a thankless people. Okay, have you ever been around children that just seem to be spoiled rotten and they're not thankful for anything and you just want to snatch them up by the hair of the head? No, just kidding. It really discourages you and it disgusts you. Yeah, we don't want to be like that to God. We don't want to be those whiny children that are spoiled brats that aren't thankful. We want to live a life of thankfulness, because when you begin thanking God and realizing that everything you have, okay, let me put it this way. Our lives are a gift. And when we begin thanking God and positioning ourselves in the state that we know that our life is a gift, the air we breathe is a gift, the money that God has given us is a gift, the talents we have are gifts, and everything we have comes down from the Father of lights, as the Bible says. When we live with that kind of perspective, then it's easy to be thankful. It's easy to be thankful. That's better than the opposite, which is you feel like everyone owes you something. You feel like everyone owes you something, and you have this entitlement spirit, and that this belongs to me, and this is mine. You know, no, that's not the spirit of a spirit-filled Christian, okay? We want to have a spirit of thankfulness, that we realize that everything God has given us is a gift, and we're so thankful to be here. How many's thankful? Come on, raise your hand with me in Edenton this morning. How many of you are thankful to be alive in 2020 November? Hallelujah. Okay, did you know there was a book a few years ago written called The Power of Thanks? And in this book, the authors highlight the importance of gratitude and appreciation as being like the prime movers of greater productivity in the office environment. And even a factor that can help organizations thrive and go to the next level. The authors say that thankfulness provides what they call a shot of dopamine. That whether expressing gratitude for what's good in life or showing gratitude to someone who's helped us at work, the neural circuitry in our brainstem releases dopamine when someone is thankful or shows us their thankfulness. So dopamine makes us feel good, right? And if it feels good, we want more of it. So it's helpful for the work environment to show thankfulness. When you just thank someone for what they're doing, it releases something in you and it releases something in them. The authors also say that thankfulness provides a swig of serotonin. Okay, so when we reflect on or write down the positives in life and at work, our brain releases serotonin. And serotonin enhances our mood. Just think antidepressant, all right? It enhances our mood, enhances our willpower, and even motivates us to do more. So the author's bottom line is, if you want better productivity at work, you want people to feel better about coming to work, you want them to produce more, then what you need to do is show some thankfulness and create a culture of thankfulness in your business. Think what that would do for your marriage. What would that do for your marriage, that instead of having a culture of gripe and a culture of complain, if you just discipline yourself, both husband and wife, to practice, let's say 30 days, where you just say, we're gonna tell each other how thankful we are for each other and list the reasons why. Do it for 30 days and see if it rewires your marriage. Think how that would shift your prayer life. If instead of coming to your prayer closet and just always, God, I need this, and God, I need this, and please do this, and I agree with you in prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name, to do this, and I confess this, and it's all about how we can get stuff from God. What if you just 30 days, went to prayer every day, and just started with a piece of thankfulness to begin with. Lord, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you that I'm living. I thank you, Lord, that you love me, and I thank you that you've given me the opportunity to pray. And then, based on that thankfulness, then the doors will open for you to make your request known. Amen. In preparing for this week, I studied the greetings of the Apostle Paul. And most of the time when he's writing a letter, he begins with some statement of thankfulness. I thank God for you. I'm praying and thanking God always for you. I thank God for your testimony. I thank God for the grace that's been given you. And as I was reading this, and you know, I've read those for years, but it just hit me this week that Paul really had that thankfulness wired in his spirit, that when he opened his mouth, thankfulness came out. He was thankful to God for those that God had placed in his life, okay? But I want us to look back at Psalm 105, and I want us to do something this morning. I want us to look at four different things that we should be thankful for, okay? Four different things in our relationship to God that we should be thankful for, okay? Four different things. The first comes from Psalm 105 that we just read, and that is the psalmist said in verse 5, remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. So we should thank God for the past. Okay? We should thank God for the past. I don't think we often stop and take time enough to say, God, I thank you for what you have done for me. All right? I thank you for how you brought me out. I thank you for how you've blessed me. I thank you for delivering me that one time. I thank you, Lord, for healing me that time. I thank you, Lord, for saving my family that time. You know, and just start thanking God for what he's done in the past. You know, in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs chapter 22, the Bible tells us that we should not remove an ancient boundary. Now, actually, he's really commanding us not to steal, because in the ancient world, people would mark their property lines with stone boundaries, okay? These stones would mark the property lines. And what would happen is if you were unfortunate to have a thieving and conniving neighbor, they could go out and inch by inch move back your boundary stone. And then after doing that for a few weeks or months, you wouldn't even realize it, but you have lost 100 yards or 200 yards of your boundary because they just kept moving it back and removing it. This is why it was commanded in the Old Testament, do not remove a boundary stone, okay? So it was something against theft, right? But there's a second aspect to this that I want to bring out, and that is it served somehow as a memorial. It served as a memorial of what was granted to you or given to you. Okay? So let's take it into our own lives. There are boundary stones, memorial stones in our past that serve as markers of what God has done in our past. And they should never be moved. We shouldn't live in the past, but we should thank God for the past and for the boundary stones that have been placed in our lives. No wonder God had people make certain signs, like the children of Israel when they crossed the River Jordan. The priest had to build up a memorial. Why? It was a memorial of what God had done, carrying them into the promised land. Come on, how many of you have memorials in here this morning? You have a memorial when you got saved. It's in your mind. It's never going to leave. You have a memorial when you were baptized. It was your coming out party, man. You were baptized and maybe your family was there, or maybe your friends were there, and they're like, wow, you know, Joe is serving the Lord and he's coming out and this is his profession of faith. That was a boundary stone in your life. You should always look back and give God thanks for what he's done for you. You know, you should always tell your testimony. Tell your testimony. Let your kids know your testimony. Tell it so much that they could tell it by heart. Tell it so much that you'll not forget it. Keep telling it. Keep telling it of how God brought you out. If God's performed certain miracles in your life, keep telling those things. I would even say, sit down sometime and write out the testimony so you know how to tell it quickly in just a couple minutes as a witnessing tool when you're out in the world. Tell that story of how God brought you out. Tell that story of how he healed you. Tell that story of how he answered prayers in your life. Remember what God has done. Can somebody put your hands together and give the Lord a praise in here this morning? Remember what God has done in your life. Be thankful for all that he's done in the past. Come on. How many can lift your hands right now and just give him thanks for everything he's done? Hallelujah. For everything he's done. God, I give you praise and I give you honor this morning for everything you've done for me. Keeping me, God. Blessing me. Being better to me than I've been to myself in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Second thing we should be thankful for is given us in Psalm chapter 54, verse 6. I'm just going to read this one verse. Psalm 54, 6 says, I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. So here the psalmist is not just saying, I'm thanking God for something that happened in my past. He said, I'm going to praise the name of the Lord, for his name is good. Which tells me we should be thankful just for who God is. We should be thankful for just who he is. I know it's a moot point to say, well, has God done anything for you? Yeah, God's done something for all of us. And I could prove that pretty much, I think, by the Bible. But nonetheless, if you just can't think of anything this morning and you're just like blank and you can't think of anything God's done for you, you can still thank him based upon just who he is. He is just God. And Lord, we thank you for just being God. He is, the Bible says, our healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. I can thank him just because he's my healer this morning. He is my Savior, right? He's God. He is Joshua in the Old Testament. Jesus in the New Testament means Jehovah is salvation. God is my Savior. If nothing else, I can just thank him for that characteristic. God is my Savior. He is my righteousness. He is this Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is the one who makes me clean and makes me righteous before God. I can just thank him based upon that. Hallelujah. He is my counselor this morning. He is my lawyer. He's my way maker. He's my defender. He's the one who goes before me. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the beginning and the end. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's, come on and on and on. You can just thank him for who he is. I think honestly that when we worship God, that sometimes it gets sweetest when we move beyond just what he's done in the past and we move into this realm of just meditating on who he is. And it's no longer about my needs and my wants and what's going to happen. It's just, God, I'm caught up in who you are. Have you ever noticed that about worship? That when we lead worship, we often try to take the church on a journey. And that is, we often step in the door and we're often singing an upbeat song just because we're worshiping. And we're often talking to each other. Come on, praise him with me. Come on, everybody. It's like we're entering into his courts and we're just giving him thanks. We're coming in just with that celebratory thanksgiving. But then as we walk into the holy place with God, and as we get closer and closer into the Holy of Holies, the worship gets more narrowed into just focusing on who he is. On who he is. Now listen, I like songs old and new. I sing a lot of the old stuff, you know. If y'all hear me very much, I'll pull out old time songs and I love it. But you know what? I do love the new worship that focuses on the character of God. That really just focuses on the character of God. Because for so many years, we sang stuff and didn't know what we were singing, I think, sometimes. You know, just because it was a good tune. Mama's not dead, she's only asleep. But, you know, that doesn't really take you into the presence of God. But I'm telling you, when you start singing, you know, this is who you are. I worship you for who you are. You are holy. You are mighty. That takes us into the very presence of God. So thank God for what he's done in the past. And thank him for just who he is. Third reason we should thank God. The psalmist says in Psalm 66 in verse 19. Says, but certainly God has heard me and he has attended to the voice of my prayer. Listen to this. Certainly God has heard me and he has attended to the voice of my prayer. We should thank God this morning because He hears us. Because He hears us. Listen, prayer is a beautiful thing. And God gave mankind prayer based upon His free will. All right? Somebody says, why should we pray? If God knows everything, why do we need to? We should pray because God willed it that way. He put the wheels in motion to say, this is how I will communicate with mankind. Mankind, I'll give him my word. I'll give him my spirit. Mankind will pray to me. He'll pray to me. And then we have this relationship with God and God with man through prayer. It's like the lungs of the church. We're breathing. God has told us to approach His throne of grace boldly. Make our petitions and requests known and pray. And today I am thankful that I know when I pray, He hears me. You say, Pastor Hans, how can you be that audacious to believe that God hears you? Because the Bible tells me He does. 1 John chapter 5 says, this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. This is my confidence, that when I pray according to the will of God, God hears me, and then I know I have the answers to my prayer because He's guaranteed it. Hallelujah. Jesus even said in John 14, 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So it actually, God takes delight in answering prayer because it brings glory to Him. All right? It gives weightiness. It gives heaviness. It gives glory, kavod. It gives to God when He answers our prayers. Okay, so you know, I'm not a big journaler. All right? I know a lot of people love keeping journals and they keep their thoughts or they keep a prayer journal. And I have at times, but I've not been big on that. I think it's a great thing. But anyhow, this past summer and even into the fall, I've journaled some in my prayer time. And really how I used the journal was like this. Somebody would ask me to pray for them, and I'd be like, okay, I will pray for you. And if I told the person I'm going to pray for them, then I'm going to follow through with it. So I would go home, I would get in this journal, and I would write the name of that person down or the request down. And I like to write it on one side of the paper, so there's another column that I can put in the answer that was given because of the prayer, okay? So as in preparing the sermon, I went back and I just looked at some of those notes that I've been keeping over the past few months. And it's just scribbles, just names, issues, boom, 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 boom. And as I looked over them, no joke, as I looked over them, some of them are like long-standing things that I'm just believing God to continue doing, to continue pouring into and all that, okay? Other than that, of the kind of specific requests that I prayed for, every single one of them had been answered. Every single one of them had been answered. Are you hearing me, church? Maybe you should keep a journal like this of prayer. Just do it for 30 days, if nothing else. And it will take your faith in your prayer life to the next level. Because often we think, well, what's the use of praying? I don't feel anything. I don't know that God is hearing me. But let me tell you, He is hearing and He is answering. Make your prayers specific. Write them down. Make another column for the answer to that prayer. And I think you'll be amazed at how God really is working in your life and doing what seems impossible. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Are you thankful that God hears you right now? You didn't come to church this morning just as a social exercise. You didn't come to church this morning just as a religious exercise. You came to church to encounter the living God. And when you encounter the living God, He's in the midst. Stuff starts happening. He's working right now on our behalf. He's working right now. Hallelujah. He's moving right now. He's in our midst right now. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst. God is right now, right here with us. We should thank Him that He's moving on our behalf and answering prayer. Hallelujah. Maybe you want to take out a notepad right now, or maybe a notebook, or take out your phone and write something in the notes, and that is things I need to be praying for right now in my life, because, oh my gosh, Pastor Hans just showed me in a fresh way, God really does hear. He really does listen. He really does answer. He really does respond. Give God a chance. Sometimes we only pray those rote prayers. You know, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And those prayers are fine. But now that you're serving the Lord, you need to go deeper. You need to push deeper than just those rote prayers. And you need to start pouring out your heart to God and say, God, I need this. God, I'm standing believing for this. God, I'm standing and agreeing for this. God, I have somebody who needs to be healed in my life, and I'm going to call their name out to you right now. Lord, I need you to move right now in my family, and I'm going to call out my family's names right now in the name of Jesus. Give God thanks that he answers prayer, hears, and responds. Somebody shout amen. All right, the fourth thing that I'm thankful for today that I see in the Psalms is in Psalm chapter 52, verse 9. The psalmist says this. This is so beautiful. He says, because you have done it, and in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. Now, what's he done? I'm going to turn to Psalm 52 because I want to show you something here that's so profound. Psalm 52, we believe, was written as David went to the tabernacle and encountered a guy named Doeg. Doeg, the Edomite, was one who saw David as he was running from Saul, and he saw him in the tabernacle with the priests. After seeing him, he ran back as a talebearer and went back to Saul and said, I know where David is. And what happened? They ended up killing the priests in that location. It was a terrible massacre that happened. So this was a great grievance against David. But notice what he said. Verse 1, why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness, Selah. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and he strengthened himself in his wickedness. I mean, what kind of psalm is that? David's like mad at somebody, right? He's like wanting to see their complete and total destruction. Well, he's speaking, we believe, against this Doeg, the Edomite, who sold him out, ratted him out. And then because of that, all these priests were killed, okay? But then what does he say in the next verse? Verse 8, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the praise of your saints, and I will wait on your name, for it is good. What has God done? What has God done in this text? He's complaining about this evil man, and then he shifts, he pivots, and he says, God, now I thank you that you've done it. Okay? We don't think God has done anything yet. But David is showing us a powerful principle of thanksgiving, and that is he is thanking God for what God will do in the future. Hallelujah. He is thanking God for what God will do in the future. You say, okay, Pastor Hans, I'm cool with thanking God for something that I know he's done in the past. I'm cool with thanking God that he's moving right now and that he's answering our prayer right now. But you're getting a little bit out there in saying that we should thank him for stuff that he hasn't done yet. Yeah, that's called thanking him by faith. All right? Thanking him by faith. How does it work? Let me show you. We can ask a prayer, right? We can pray a prayer and say, God, I would ask that you would do this certain thing in my life. And then we stand on the word, we believe it, we submit it to the Lord in prayer, and then after that, I can walk away from that prayer, lift my hands and say, now God, I thank you for doing it. And I thank you that the answer is mine. And I thank you that it's done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Isn't that lying? No, it's standing on faith. It's standing on the word. It's believing God for something you can't see. You see, the problem with the American church is we only believe God for the things we can see. We're not walking in faith. We're just walking in evidence. But God wants us to walk in those things we can't see yet. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen yet. So we're believing God for what's out there yet to come. Somebody shout, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I had a friend years ago in the mountains where I was raised, and he really mentored me somewhat. And this guy was, he was awesome. And at one point, he wanted to get into riding motorcycles. He used to ride motorcycles years ago. He wanted to get back into it. But this time, he said, I want to get back into riding motorcycles, and I want to go on TV, and I want to start preaching to guys who ride motorcycles. I just feel God putting that in my spirit. But to do it, and to have street cred, I really need to be riding a Harley Davidson, Lord. And Lord, also, I don't have the money to go on TV, nor do I have money to buy the bike. So you just need to give all that to me, okay? In Jesus' name, all right? So he starts praying, and then he says he writes all this stuff down on a piece of paper. He sets the paper down in the middle of the floor, and he starts thanking God for the answer. Hallelujah. Starts dancing around it in Jesus' name, thanking God for what he's done. Phone rings. He answers the phone. Somebody says, hey, I got $20,000 for you. I want you to go buy a new Harley Davidson. And not only that, I'm going to get behind you on a monthly basis to support your television ministry. My friend is still on TV to this day, and that's been umpteen years ago, preaching the gospel on the back of a Harley Davidson, and he's been invited to the craziest settings. The hardcore gang members have invited him out to do devotions for them and pray. Amazing, amazing. But what if he wouldn't have had that boldness? What if he wouldn't have had that faith to say, God, I'm going to stand out. I'm going to stand on faith. I'm going to stick my neck out on the line, and now I'm going to thank you in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to give you praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love people who live in the faithfulness and the faith of believing God for things they haven't achieved yet or received yet. Hallelujah. I had some friends who used to pastor in the Richmond, Virginia area, and they were just faith people. And every time I was around them, I was just encouraged because they're talking about what God's going to do and how awesome God is. And so one day I had this big white Dodge van that my wife and I used to travel in. And one day I pulled in at their church for a meeting, and I pulled up in a van, and the pastor saw me from the parking lot, and he looked. And he recognized finally it was me as I jumped out. He said, oh, Brother Hans, it's so great to see you. As soon as I saw that van pull up, I've been praying for a van like that. And I thought, God, you've provided. Hallelujah in Jesus' name. Well, it was me pulling it up. But nonetheless, I love this guy's faith. That soon as he saw it, he just knew that was the answer to prayer. Are you living like that? Or are you living in doubt and living in this sad sack and sorrow and complaining and ungrateful? Come on, turn that around right now. Let this be the week. Come on, let it be marked in your mind, marked in your calendar. This week of Thanksgiving, I determine I'm going to be a thankful person. I determine I'm going to thank God for what he's done. I'm going to thank him for what he's doing. I'm going to thank him for who he is. I'm going to thank him for what's getting ready to come that I haven't seen yet. God's got so much good stuff in store for me. If I could see it all right now, it'd probably blow my mind. If I could see some of the doors God's getting ready to open for me, it'd probably scare me half to death. You know what? So God, I'm just thanking you by faith for everything you're getting ready to do. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together and Eden in this morning and give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. I begin thinking about Paul and Silas. Acts chapter 16. God spoke to Paul by a vision and told him to come over. There was this man in a vision saying, come to Macedonia. He goes to Macedonia, and he starts the first church plant on the European continent. And they go over there and they meet this lady named Lydia. She's a seller of purple, evidently a well-to-do lady. She gets saved, her whole household gets saved and baptized. Paul and Silas cast this demon spirit out of a girl who was telling fortunes. And because of that, they were placed in prison. And because they were dangerous, men, they were placed in the inner prison. And then not only that, their feet and legs were put in stocks. And so here they are in the inner prison in stocks. And now it's getting dark. And everything looks bad. Like this is over. Maybe they'll be put to death. Maybe they'll die in here. It's the worst scenario possible. But in the middle of all of that, the Bible says that Paul and Silas begin to sing praises and give thanks unto God. They began to praise Him in the midst of the worst circumstance possible. And what happened? As they sang praises and prayed unto God, all of a sudden their bands were loosed, the doors were open, the prison shook with a great earthquake, and not only were they set free, but every other person in the prison was set free that night. Come on, when you begin to thank God and you begin to praise Him, even in the midst of the worst circumstances possible, I just believe it turns on the supernatural Holy Ghost octane in your engine, that God starts doing stuff like you've never imagined before, and not only are you set free, but everyone around you is set free. Because who can stand there and be bound when someone next to them is so free and so full of God? Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you what, Fountain of Life is an overcoming church. Edenton is an overcoming church. Look at the adversity we've come through this year. Look, I lost my wife, my partner of 28 years. We built everything together, did every bit of ministry together. I lost her this year, and some asked, will you ever come back? I had friends say, man, we're just so proud of you for even going back and preaching again, Hans. And I'm like, no, I can't do anything else. I got to give Him praise in the midst of the worst part of my life. I'm still going to give Him praise because I know that God's going to shake this nation, and He's shaking this area, and He's using Fountain of Life Church. Because we've come through all of this, I believe God's just going to pour out more favor. Some of y'all have remained faithful through COVID when the devil's been telling you, don't get out, just wait till this all blows over, don't support the church, just go home, mind your own business. No, but you've been faithful. You've been still praying. You've been still encouraged. You've been still giving. You've been still witnessing. I just believe in my heart that there's a special blessing and special favor on your life. Hallelujah. Edenton has something built in it more than other church plants because it's been built in a time of adversity, but yet you're making it and you're coming out. Somebody shout hallelujah. The Bible says that Isaac dug wells. He dug the old wells of his father in the season of famine, and God blessed him in the season of famine. When you come in the worst circumstances and you still do God's work and you still believe Him and you still thank Him and you still give Him your best, God pours it out on you, I believe, in a greater manner. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Come on. How many have a reason to be thankful? Come on, if you're thankful, just give Him a praise in here this morning. If you're thankful, lift up your hands and just shout it. God, I'm thankful. I thank You. Thank You for what You've done. Thank You for answering my prayers. Thank You for being who You are. And God, I thank You for what You're going to do in our lives in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Can everybody shout a great big amen and put your hands together this morning? Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing, God loves you and He has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray. And you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us. And we love you dearly. And go follow God and go into the destiny that He has for your life.